I got diagnosed with perimenopausal symptoms and then surgically induced menopause. Sandy just came to every doctor's appointment because he said, I need to understand, because I completely pushed him out. We didn't have a relationship for about a year. I was like, don't look at me, don't touch me, don't tell me I'm beautiful. I just couldn't go near him. I just felt so low in myself that I just didn't even think he deserved being around me.
Hello, you are listening to the Capsule in Conversation podcast. I'm Natalie Anderson, and today I'm joined by fashion designer and Real Housewives of Cheshire star, Seema Malhotra, to talk the key to diplomacy, managing menopause, and the secret of longevity in love and fashion. So sit back, relax, and get ready to join us for our conversation. Hello all, I hope you're all well. Can you believe that we have reached the final episode of this series and this year? I really can't believe how quickly the weeks have flown with so many amazing women joining me for the ride. But we're not quite done yet. Bringing some peace and joy to this final episode is a real housewife who's as famed for her diplomacy as she is for her fashion. A former fashion student who in 2008, alongside her husband, launched the hugely successful fashion brand Forever Unique. She's also an entrepreneur owning both glamorous Manchester Hotspot Menagerie and Cheshire-based skincare clinic KP Aesthetics. She is a passionate menopause awareness advocate, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome her to our podcast. Today. She is the super gorgeous and super glamorous Seema Malhotra. Hi, Seema.
Hi, hun. Oh my God. That was some sort of like, oh my God, my head feels like it's this big.
Well, it's such a pleasure to welcome you. Honestly, these are like your achievements and this is who you are. And I love to do that with our guests because I think it's so nice to give women that just that pat on the back to say how brilliant we are, because we don't often do it ourselves.
We don't. I think, I know what I'm like as well. I don't actually realise the things that I've done along my journey. It's crazy. And sometimes just sitting, listening to you then, I have to pinch myself actually to say, oh my God, I've done all that. And it's gone so quick. It feels like yesterday when we started the brand and all the other things that I've done along my journey. It's crazy. But I think women, we don't ever appreciate what women have to go through, not just only in business, but being a mom, being a daughter, a mother, everything.
All those different roles and those different hats that we put on. You're absolutely right. And you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, about the mental overload of women and how actually we really do take it on, whether that's, you know, I know obviously your boys are a lot older now, but you know, when they were younger and launching a fashion brand at the same time, PE kits and school and homework and after school clubs, as well as everything else and doctor's appointments, dentists, you know, just all this mental overload that we put on ourselves. So we do need to give ourselves a moment of recognition, don't we? Just to say, we're bloody brilliant.
100%, because I remember when my kids were really young and, you know, I used to go off to China. That's where I do all my production. So I had to leave the boys and, you know, you miss things like the school plays, you know, doctor's appointments that I couldn't be at. And that whole guilt that you feel as a mom, you know, it's horrible. It's really hard. Where do you get that balance? But, you know, now they're older and they understand, and they actually say to me, wow, mum, you know, it must have been really hard, because they can see how hard I had to work, you know, to give them the nice things in life. And you do it for your children, don't you?
Of course you do. And that's the thing, that fine balance of always trying to kind of say that to your kids. And you go, when you're older, you know, when you're crying and you've had a meltdown, when you're older, you'll understand, you'll see it for yourself.
I used to do that all the time, but now they're older, I'm still crying.
Oh, bless you. Well, listen, I know you've also been really busy filming the spin-off of Housewives of Cheshire aboard a cruise ship, which is, you know, the Christmas version. I mean, how's that been?
Oh wow. I'm not gonna lie, it was out of everything that I've ever filmed on The Housewives, it was my best trip. And I
Amazing.
actually came back feeling like I'd had a holiday. You know, usually because you know what it's like with us girls, the drama always seems to just follow us. But I enjoyed every minute of it. It was fun. Yeah, there was drama. But overall, I came back feeling really refreshed and it felt like I had the most amazing time. So I loved it.
And I love that even now, after so many series, because you joined, what, back in 2016, I think it was. And then after even now, so long, you're still finding that enthusiasm and that, kind of joy in the show, which it is a difficult show. There are things to navigate, I'm sure, on there, big personalities. But you always come across, when I watch it, that so level-headed. And like the most diplomatic of any of the configurations, actually. What do you put that down to?
I'm just being me. It's who I am. You know, people say, oh, it's, these reality TV shows, they're not real. But I can honestly say, hand on my heart, I am being me. And that's anyone that knows Seema will say, I say sorry to everyone, even though I haven't done anything wrong, because I hate that feeling of falling out, because I've never genuinely fallen out with anybody. And even if I don't like you, I'll just kill you with my kindness, because I just think the world that we live in, it's nice to be nice. I want to be kind. I don't see the point of having to scream and shout. We can have a discussion. Yeah, we might disagree, but overall, I'm not here to fall out with anybody. And if I don't get on with you, the simple thing is, I'm going to be nice to you. Doesn't mean we have to hang out. And I actually appreciate someone just being honest and saying, do you know what? You're not really my cup of tea. And that's fine. I respect that. But it's just down to personality. You know, each and every single one of us are so different. You know, you've got other cast members that literally say it as it is and they don't care. But then I don't knock them for being that, because that's who they are. But then at the same time, I think maybe the longevity I've had is because I swear I'm just being me. I'm nearly 52 years of age. I've got nothing to prove to anybody. You know, I am just doing this because I just think it's a great platform as a woman, a businesswoman, as a mom, just to bring to life real life issues, like the menopause. It was something that I was going through and it was very much documented throughout the series. So I just think it's a great platform.
And like I said, the fact that you still have that almost like respect, really, for the platform that you have, and don't take it for granted, even with the huge success that you have both in business and on the show, again, is a testament to you as a person. And I expect sometimes, though, it must be difficult being in some of those confrontations, if you're a person that doesn't like it. How do you kind of protect yourself? What do you need to do to kind of get your own energy back into a kind of a nice place?
You know, you're 100% right, because there's been moments where either I'm involved in some of these heated arguments or I'm just standing back and they're both just as bad as each other. You know, I can't say being involved and not being involved is any better. They're both horrible because it just doesn't sit right with me. But I think, with age, I've learned, maybe take me back 20 years ago, I don't think I would have been able to cope with it. But at the age that I am, I feel like I know how to deal with these situations. You know, I'll take some of the girls to one side and say, come on, this isn't right. You know, how can we make this right? How can I bring you all back together? And if I can't, then let's just be, polite enough to say we agree to disagree. And I don't let it affect me because, at the end of the day, life's too short. I think if I was younger, Seema, and I used to be much more feistier and didn't really care, and I was much more gobby, I'd probably give it back. But with age, I've realized that's not the right way to deal with things. And I don't know, I always feel there is a solution to every problem in life.
This episode of The Capsule in Conversation is brought to you by Harrogate Springwater. Famous for its waters since 1571, Harrogate is Britain's premium natural source water. I think what's brilliant about the show as well is, as you said, you know, it does deal with so many different things. And it is, as you've said before in interviews, you know, people ask you, is the drama real? It's spent, you know, it's under the title of scripted reality, but the drama is very real. And like you said, you know, your problems, and even like with Tanya and her ADHD and some of the other issues that the other women have gone through, you are really laying it all out there. And you know, making that choice to join the show, did you ever envisage it would be as real as it is?
When I joined the show, I didn't have a clue. I didn't really. The only reality TV I'd ever watched was TOWIE, because Lucy Meck, one of the cast members, used to work for me in my London showroom. And obviously, when she'd gone into the show, and, you know, I used to dress her and all the other cast members that were in the show at the time. But I didn't really think much of it, to be honest, because I didn't ever really watch much telly. So I just thought, oh, this is just a great platform, you know. And when I joined The Housewives, when I was asked to join, I thought it was a show about business women.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the fact that these cameras are going to be following me around all the time. You know, my kids were younger then when I joined. But, you know, you have choices in life. And I just feel I've kept it real, and I've just shown, you know, the person who I am. You know, I work really hard. Yes, everyone says, oh, Cheshire Housewife. I'm literally not that glam. I live in my trackies. I barely wear any makeup. I'm a normal, regular woman. And I just thought, you know, yeah, I can come on this platform, but I'm going to use it to my advantage. I want to talk about things that are, you know, that every woman goes through in life. You know, I want to keep it real, and that's what I've done. I've not come on this show just to be a drama queen and, you know, prance around in my gorgeous gowns, whatever. I've hopefully, you know, used it to a good advantage in helping other people that watch the show. You know, I just hope I've done some good.
Oh, you definitely have, 100%. I mean, we'll come on to like the menopause later on, you know, which is a big theme for us on this podcast. But, you know, going back to you as a businesswoman, that was an incredibly smart business move, you know, to put Forever Unique onto that kind of platform. You know, you built the fashion business. You went into it with Sandeep, your husband, in 2008. And then, you know, I was reading up on that first capsule collection of 10 dresses being inspired by like the supermodels of the 80s. Who for you, or what for you, does a Forever Unique woman, what are the qualities that you look for? Or what, you know, when you're designing, who is your woman?
My woman is someone who's strong, she's powerful, she's brave, you know, she's bold, she's confident, and she's got a voice. That's my woman, you know. And I think that, again, comes right back to the 90s, the supermodels. You know, it's British Vogue Awards that have been going on, the fashion awards that were going on yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think everyone looked amazing. But still, for me, you know, seeing Naomi Campbell stood there, it just blows my mind. I mean, she's in her 50s, and boy, she looks as good as what she did back in the, you know, 80s, 90s. She's a strong woman, and she's still standing strong. And for me, that was my inspiration then, and she's my inspiration now. I mean, just oozed elegance, you know. So for me, it is someone who's bold, strong, confident, and brave. You know, being a woman's not easy.
Yes.
You know, it's not all about, you know. And I feel, you know, social media, everything at the moment that we're surrounded around, you know, you've got to look a certain way. No, you don't. For me, it's just, as long as it's good in your heart, you've got good intentions, you're trying. All we can do in life is try. You know, nothing's easy. I just love a trier, you know, someone that's not scared to give it a go.
I think also with your fashion, you know, what's so evident, and you are the greatest ambassador of it, is like how your fashion makes a statement. you know, all the outfits that you have, the colours, the designs, everything that you put together, that you put together as well in kind of a capsule each season so that it can be worn with each, you know, past seasons or this season to put together. And, you know, when you see it on you, I love seeing all your things on you most of all, as much as you have, you know, fantastic ambassadors and partners. I think when I see it worn by you, as you said, 52-year-old woman who's, for me, is so glamorous, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, she's the dream. So like, and for you, do you feel like that, that there is a sense of you being a role model?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, because, you know, this all stems from probably my childhood. You know, I'm a British Asian, Indian background, and, you know, just seeing my mum, my aunties that weren't really allowed to have that confidence. You know, very overpowered by the men. And, you know, a woman's role was to be at home, to cook, to clean, to give birth to loads of children. You know, no, a woman of today, she might want to be something. She might want to go and work, get a job. So, you know, that all stemmed from my mum, seeing my mum, you know, and I just thought, you know what, I am going to be something. I want to study fashion. It's what I love. And I've looked after myself. Yeah, I've gained weight. I'm going through the menopause. I've put on a stone and a half. But still doesn't mean I can't be glamorous. So, you know, always just seeing the women around me just made me think, you know what, I just want to create something for women that's going to make them feel good. You know, It's not all about being at home, cooking, cleaning, bearing kids, whatever. Yeah, we can do that, but we can still be something else.
I think it's so similar what you're saying, because I wanted to do the same thing with this podcast, was like give women a voice, because actually, you know, we deserve to speak, we deserve to be able to tell our stories and not just be, you know, harking back to the older generations and the older days, and particularly as, you know, younger women still paving that way and still making changes, and each decade you're going to encounter something different. And as for you, as you've said, you know, going into, you know, menopause, you're flying the flag now for women in menopause, that actually, if you do put on weight, that doesn't mean you can't wear the clothes that you love. Just choose a different way to kind of express yourself. You know, going back to your experience, like you said, you did talk about it quite a lot on the show. And I think one of the loveliest things was, you know, seeing you talk to your mum and also discussing things with your team. Tell me about that decision. Did you say directly to the show, I want to be able to talk about this, it's important?
Well, the show actually came up to us and said, look, you know, we have this chance of doing this menopause documentary, you know, do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm doing this, because, you know, this is what we need to be talking about. Again, probably culturally for me, it was something that we did not discuss growing up as kids. You know, I couldn't go to my mum. And even if I did, she'd say, oh, no, when you go to school, they'll teach you at school. It was seen as a taboo, something that's dirty. You know, we don't talk about periods, sex, you know, menopause. Everything was very much like, oh, no, you'll learn at school. So I didn't have a clue. And even when my mum went through it, you know, I didn't really know what she was going through, because she was silent. She never explained anything about it. She suffered in silence, as a lot of women do with many things. But obviously, once, you know, I started getting these symptoms, and it literally became a daily thing where it's affecting every day of my life. I didn't want to get out of bed some days, or I'd be on set and I'm teary, I'm crying, and I don't know why I'm crying, and I don't want to be there, and feeling tired. I'd gained all this weight, and I was thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with me? But not knowing who to turn to, because obviously I never had this conversation with my mum. You know, you learn from your mums, and mum never wanted to speak to me about it, because she wasn't allowed. It wasn't the done thing. And so when this came along that we could have this opportunity of doing the show, the first thing I did was I went to my mum, because I was like, mum, I really want to openly speak about this. And she was like, oh my God, you have to do it. Change it. for your generation, the younger generation. She said, because I didn't have anyone to turn to. You know, even turning to my dad, even though he was there for it, he'd just be like, oh, you'll be fine, just get on with it. You know, and it wasn't much talked about, so she didn't know what she was going through till later on when she got the help from the doctors. So,
and what you just said then about, you know, kind of the men and the male role within menopause, you know, it's something again that we talk about where it needs to be so inclusive, that conversation, because it affects men, it affects everybody, really. You know, you're the only woman in your house. How was that for you? And, you know, talking to your sons and to Sandeep.
They all just thought, because I'm on this reality TV show, they were like, oh, mum's just being a drama queen, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. And because I've always been quite fit, and, you know, I love going to the gym, I love dancing, all of a sudden I stopped doing everything because my energy levels were so low. Mm. You know, I couldn't even get out of bed some days, and then I'd just cry the whole day. So they literally thought I'd lost the plot. And I'm not going to lie, I thought I was having like a bit of a breakdown. Mm. And I thought maybe it's because I'm doing too much. You know, we've got the clinic, I'm doing Forever Unique. You know, the show, that takes a lot of time. We're filming. So I thought maybe it's just me doing too much. So they didn't get it at all. And then once, obviously, I got diagnosed with early perimenopausal symptoms and then surgically induced menopause because I had my ovaries removed. Mm. Sandeep just came to every doctor's appointment because he said, I need to understand, because I completely pushed him out. We don't have a relationship for about a year. I was like, don't look at me, don't touch me, don't tell me I'm beautiful. I was like, I just couldn't go near him. I just felt so low in myself.
Yeah.
That I just didn't even think he deserved being around me.
That is so sad as well, because your love story is like one of a fairy tale. Do you know what I mean? You've been together, what, 28 years? And
we'll be 30 next year. We're going to be married 30 years.
My God. I mean, that's incredible. And, you know, when people do, if they follow you on Instagram, they'll be like, oh, Seema and Sandeep, you know, just the perfect couple. So that must have been really difficult for him as well. But also for your sons, you know, have you been able to be a bit more open with them as well?
Oh yeah, massively open now, because they could sense there was tension at home, because me and Sandeep, all he was trying to do was be really nice, mm-hmm. make a bit of a joke about it, but I didn't find anything funny. And him being nice, I didn't want to feel nice, because internally I felt like my body was just shutting down. I mean, don't sleep some days, you know, I'd have sleepless nights. So when you're energy is so low, you're just constantly bickering. So the boys were like, oh my God, what's wrong with mum and dad? You know, constantly at each other. So yeah, they know everything. We sat them down and I explained to them what I'm going through. Still, I don't know if they quite understand what the menopause is, but I talk to them openly and they get it now. And they're like, mum, you know, maybe you just need to go for a walk. Should we go for a walk with you? Or why don't you just take the dog? You know, stop feeling low about yourself. And, you know, they make me feel much better because they understand. Mm. And that's all it is us all opening a conversation.
And it's important for them as well. Like you say, you know, your boys are like 25, are they, and 22? And so, you know, they're going to be embarking on their own path soon. And it's important, whether even if it's as employers, that they know what women are going through and can understand. You know, that's a huge thing about, you know, menopause in the workplace. And I know obviously it's something that you've discussed with your team at Forever Unique, is, you know, making sure you have those open conversations.
Well, I had to, because obviously the fashion industry that I'm in, we've got lots of girls that work in the office. And every time we'd have a design meeting, we'd sit in those board meetings, and I can't remember the designs we're talking about, but I can see all the young girls and even the guys in the meetings. Everyone's looking at each other thinking, well, she lost the plot. We only spoke about these styles 2 days ago, but I can't remember. And I'd literally walk out of the meetings and I'd go and cry in my office. Mm. Or I'd say to Sandeep, oh my God, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't remember things. And it's horrible. And he said, well, obviously, once I found out what was going on with myself, just sat the whole team down and I said, look, this is what I'm going through. I want you to be patient with me. There's some days that I'm not quite on form. And they were like, what is the menopause? And I was like, do you not know what the menopause is? And they were like, no. So I was like, right, we're having a lesson on the menopause. So I'm like, God, they must hate me because all I do is come in. And but it's really good now because some of them come in going, oh my God, my mum was so cranky last night. I know why. And I even said to my mum, maybe you need to go and get a blood test. So I was like, well done.
Yeah, this is brilliant. I love this. Like, we had Liz Earle on right at the very start of this series. And I keep talking to everyone about it. I mean, I'm 41 now. And so, but we first kind of started talking about this right in series one. And I was 38 then. And I call myself a peri-pusher because I'm like trying to push the perimenopause on everyone and going, we need to know about it. Everyone needs to know about it. Because it's true, as you said, you know, especially younger people, they don't know about it and they should know about it. It's not an older woman's problem. It's something that, you know, does affect us all. It could be your boss. It could be your mum. It could be your mother-in-law. It could be any woman that you come into contact with, you know, plus 30 probably, may well be starting to have experiences. I was chatting to another couple of women just recently at a business event. And one of the women said, oh, actually, I went into menopause at 31. And I was like, really? Wow. And she was like, yeah, that was 20 years ago. And I didn't tell anybody. And I was like, wow. So she went through, in a lot of ways, similar to kind of what you went through, in that she had to have her ovaries removed because she'd had cysts. And so she went into surgical menopause very early, very young. But she didn't talk about all the other effects that were going on after that surgery. She was just like, oh, you know, I've just been poorly. Whereas now we know, especially surgical menopause, it's incredibly harsh, isn't it?
Honestly, like, I had a hysterectomy 5 years ago, but I kept my ovaries. So my ovaries were functioning, but over time, they just declined. So my levels, some weeks I'd be the seamer that I am, bubbly seamer, and then some weeks when they'd really, my estrogen levels would drop really low, I'd be like this crazy seamer who, I think one of my worst symptoms were like the sleepless nights and then the anxiety that kicks in. Oh my God. I remember I'd gone on this morning to talk about the show, and 2 minutes before going on, I was perfectly fine. And that 2 minutes before, my heart felt like it was just going to come out of my chest. And I remember, I think it was with Rochelle Humes, and she said to me, are you okay? Because you look like you're going to cry. And I literally was. And I just had to say, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. But if my heart, I literally thought I was having a heart attack. And when I came off, I said to my husband, oh my God, I hated every minute of that. I thought I was dying. And I didn't know what I was going through. And now, you know, when I get that feeling, I know what to do. You know, it's just, it's horrible, and nobody tells you that.
And you know, from where you are now, like, you know, how have you been able to kind of make this more manageable? Or how have you, because like you said, you know, you're still kind of going through it. So how have you been able to look after yourself and, you know, protect yourself a bit better?
So I'm now, obviously, I'm on HRT. So I take the HRT patches, and I also use the testosterone gel that I use. And the other biggest thing is accepting that I'm actually going through it. So if I've not slept all night due to feeling a bit anxious or whatever, the next day I'm going to have some time out. I'm not going to be Wonder Woman, go to work, you know, go and film, do everything that I do. I've realised that it's fine to say, do you know what, guys, I can't do it. I need to just go home. Be it, I need to go and do a yoga class, do Pilates, do a bit of meditation. Seema's going to go and have a bit of Seema time. Whereas before, I've just done everything because I want to be Wonder Woman and I don't want to be defeated by anything. But there's no shame in just saying, do you know what, I'm having a bit of a bad day. You know, I'll call some of my girly friends saying, can we just go for a walk with the dog? Or some people say, come on, let's just go off and let's get a night away somewhere, let's just go in, because sometimes it just can be a mental thing as well, you know, it brings you down. And for me now, it's just knowing, I know how to deal with it now.
That is such an amazing thing to say, that acceptance, that actually this is real, it's happening, and I'm giving myself permission to have a moment of
You've got
time.
to accept, you've got to embrace. Look, I'm not in my 20s anymore. Like I say, I've gained a lot of weight, but it's fine. You know, my husband says you look more beautiful, so that's fine for me. And now I feel good about it. You know, whereas before it's like, yeah, I have across my midriff gained loads of weight, my boobs have grown, I've got bingo wings, but do I care? I'm feeling good because my energy's feeling good and I can accept it. It's just, it's fine. It's another stage in our lives. You know, it's just another stage in a woman's life. From, you know, when we're being young, we're going through periods, having babies. You know, it's just another part. Being a woman is actually very, very hard. I think men have it very easy.
They do. They absolutely do, you know, and it is hard because, like you say, when you need that kind of reassurance and you need that sisterhood as well, I suppose. Like you said in the beginning, you know, it was difficult for your mum because she didn't really talk about it. And it's so important that we are able to talk about this now. But, you know, again, what you said about Sandeep saying, let's do this and let's do that. I mean, he's just the loveliest man. And, you know, I'm sure you have your moments like any married couple. But, you know, how do you balance kind of working together and being together as a couple? How, you know, you've, like you said, you've been married like nearly 30 years. How does that work?
I think it's work because I've literally, he's like my best friend. That's all I can say. Like, and you know, we had an arranged marriage. It's not like we even had time to kind of get to know each other. Okay, we were engaged for like 8, 9 months, but during that time, we never lived together. And you only get to know a person, I think, when you spend time, you know, living together, not just seeing each other once or twice a week. And that literally was like the holiday period when we actually got married. It was like, oh my God, what have we done? Because I remember him saying to me about 4 weeks after our wedding, we'd come back from our honeymoon, and he was like, oh God, I don't know if we made the right decision here. Because we are so different. I'm gobby, I talk a lot, I'm very loud, I love to have fun, and he's the opposite. You know, he's very quiet. He only kind of speaks if he needs to speak. He thinks I'm bonkers, but I think that's where it's worked. We're so opposite, but at the same time, we've got a lot of things in common in terms of, you know, our work ethic, business. You know, I think what attracted me to him was just his ambition for life. And then obviously when we met, he was just like, I don't want you to think that you're just going to be a woman that's going to be at home. You know, I want you to do what you want to do in life. Like, you know, we always have like a wish board at home, and we all put on there, you know, things that, you know, that we want to achieve. And that's what we did. I remember him saying, write down everything that you want to achieve in life, and you can do it. And so what if some things don't work out? Pick yourself up and try again. And I just think I don't know, it works because we work dead well at work together. I'm not gonna lie, I think when we spend a lot of time at home, like during COVID, we nearly killed each other because we
But
worked
we need to
through
hear that. That's
Zoom.
quite refreshing to hear as well.
Yeah, oh, it really got on my nerves during COVID because, like, as well, because we've worked all our lives, even from when the kids were young. And we were traveling a lot during COVID. We were stuck in the house for them, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And that was hard because we weren't even used to living in our house because we always used to travel with work. So all of a sudden, I'm looking around the house thinking, oh God, I need to decorate. I need to change everything. And I think he just thought, oh, she's going to get on my nerves. Because that's what I did. I just painted, decorated, made them strip the walls. We did everything during lockdown, and I think he hated me.
But you were put under a microscope. Everyone was. Everyone was like really reduced to, you know, just being so insular. And that's a pressure cooker for anybody. I know when we were homeschooling and we were together all the time, and God, it was so hard. And for the three of us, it was so hard, you know. And at one point, I just ended up crying my eyes out and just saying, I can't do this. He's not doing any more schoolwork. I'm not doing it. I'll teach him my way. And James was the same, because we both just got so upset with it. But, you know, it was really interesting what you said, you know, about the beginning of you two kind of coming together. I suppose you've built this framework of being a team from really early on. And that's kind of stayed with you. And also the effort that that requires to be a team, you know, not just going, oh, well, this isn't going to work, but actually putting the effort and the work in.
You're 100% right. You know, I think from day dot, because we never lived together. Mm. I remember being on our honeymoon, and I think we were like 3 days in, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is hard. You know, just stupid little things like, you know, him just staying in bed, and I get up, I'm an early riser. I was like, oh my God, is that what he does? Because I'd never lived with him.
Yeah.
So we knew, and I remember we both sat down and he said, look, yeah, we're worlds apart, but we've obviously seen something in each other that we like. We've just got to work on it. And it's like any relationship. If it's worth fighting for, you work for it, don't you?
Yeah.
And I think we both saw something in each other that we obviously liked. And we thought, do you know what? You know, it was challenging. Every day's challenging. And, you know, we just knew we had something special that was worth fighting for. And that's what we've done. And he is a great guy. I have to say, if anything, I think I've been the one that's hard work. He's just enthusiastic about everything, everyone. You know, he's got that positive energy that he just knows how to pick someone up. And if anything, I think he changed me for all the right reasons. He taught me a lot on how to be a better person in life. Even when I joined the show, the Housewives, I used to come home after filming and I'd be like, oh my God, this happened. And he was like, right, sit down and have a minute. And you know what? You can work this out. And he's just so level-headed.
And you need that, don't you? Like, especially like when you're a creative, and I know that he's a creative too, but when you are kind of, as you said, you know, you've got all this passion and all this drive and all this female energy going on as well, you know, let's put that in the mix. You do need somebody to give you a more grounded ear to then bring you back so that your creativity and your emotions and passion don't run away with you, I suppose, which is like what you said in the beginning, what makes you two really, really work.
I think all the way along, I've been this crazy, creative one. And Sandeep is that real level-headed. He's great with numbers. You know, we can really sit and kind of map things out for me, because if I had it my way, I'd be doing everything. But then I'd just be a busy fool. But yeah, I think it's just worth the partnership, mm-hmm. of him just being the real sort of brains behind it and me just being that sort of creative vision that I have. And he's what's great is he always says, give it a go. Like you say, that small 10-piece capsule collection that we started with, he thought it was bonkers with some of the designs that I did. He was like, who the hell's even going to wear it? But then he did say to me, do you know what, Seema, just give it a shot. We'll try it. All we can do is try. So it was a calculated risk. Mm. And it works. You know, some things have worked, some things haven't. But he's never one to say like, oh my God, you know, what a disaster. You know, you completely failed. Even if we have failed, he's always said, you know, these failures have made us bigger and better. You know, even now, look at the current climate that we're in. It's doom and gloom. It's hard. Every business, I think, out there is finding it difficult. But he just always seems to find the right words to make me get back up and think, right, I can fight. I can do this.
Well, as you said, you know, you're a partnership and you need your team member. You need your, like, your person that's in the team to play well with you and so that you can move forward. And, you know, and speaking about that, what are your kind of future goals with either the brand or for yourself?
Yeah, well, during lockdown, because we started doing loads of the interiors around the house. We did everything ourselves, by the way, because like everyone's like, oh, well, it's all right for her. She's had people do it. We didn't. We're so hands-on at every level. Mm. And because we are both creative, we love doing it. So, yeah, during lockdown, because we were doing the house so much, we came up with Forever Unique Home. So we started doing some furniture. So hopefully the expansion of that because it's only just launched about 4 weeks ago, and touch wood, it's going well. And continuing with Forever Unique, the clinic we've just started work on yesterday. We're opening a surgical unit at the back, like a mini hospital where we can do some day case operations. So that's a new venture that I don't really know much about, but obviously my business partner, Katra, who's a nurse, really feels this is something that we can develop. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. And we're hoping if that surgical unit works, then maybe we can roll out some mini hospitals around. I don't know. So yeah, just keep going, keep trying. You know, Menagerie is doing really well. I know Karina, my business partner, is talking about hopefully opening more menageries around the UK. And I think again that all these businesses were hit during COVID massively. But you know what? We're all still here and we're trying.
I don't know how you have the time to do it all. Honestly, I'm like going, and there's that, and there's that. I mean, you know, and because you are so busy, what are your kind of go-tos for self-care, you know, and your well-being? How do you protect your well-being to make sure that you don't get burnt out?
Oh, do you know what? This is only something I've only started doing in the last year, only because of my own health scare and everything, and with menopause and you know, me and Sandeep have just decided we have to take time out. That's what we're doing. You know, I do yoga. I dance twice a week, which I love. I don't know if my knees can keep taking it, but I still go. And then we've decided once a month, by hook or crook, me and Sandeep are just going to go away, be it to a spa for a night or take ourselves somewhere, even if it's just walking the dog. You know, going for a nice, you know, pub lunch, just having a bit of time together as a fam. Yeah, that's what I do. Just embracing the fact that I am getting older and I need a bit of that time. And it's fine if I'm having a low day, it's okay to take time out. The work's always going to be there.
And just before we finish up, do you have any words of wisdom for young Seema?
Never doubt yourself. And there's always a solution to a problem.
Oh,
Because
I
I
love
worried
that.
about everything all my life, and it's taken me up to the age of 50 to realize there is a solution. Because when I look back, even though all them times I might have fallen, it worked out because I just picked myself back up. You know, surround yourself with the right people as well, positive people. That's the other thing I would say to Seema. Yeah, no negativity. Just surround yourself with positive people.
Well, that's what we're going to take into 2023, guys. Seema, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you with me today.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. And you look absolutely beautiful, by the way.
I feel wretched, but you know how it is. We all feel a bit like that. Thank you so much. And so do you, because let me just say, poor Seema isn't very well and she's still come and given her time to us today. So thank you.
No, thank you for having me.
If you'd like to keep up with Seema, then you can follow her on Instagram at Seema Forever Unique. And you can also see her in the new Housewives mini series, The Real Housewives of Cheshire Christmas Cruising, on ITVB and ITVX before the new series lands next year. For more well-being, fashion, and beauty, you can visit us at our website, www.thecapsule.co.uk. And you can also catch up with our previous podcast episodes by visiting the In Conversation page or subscribing to any of our podcast channels and YouTube. As always, even though we will be on a break, please feel free to leave your rates and reviews. And I would love to hear from you. You can drop me a message at Official Capsule on Instagram if you'd like to know who's coming into the studio next year. Or if you've got any guest suggestions or anything that you would like us to investigate on your behalf, please just let me know. I won't be back next week, but we will be back next year with more fabulous guests. But today, all that's left for us to say today is a huge Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you that supported us. Thank you for listening, for your messages, and for being part of the conversation. Thank you to all of our amazing special guests, including Seema. You've all been wonderful. Thank you to Harrogate Springwater for your continued support. Thank you to my glorious team, Kat and Becky, who I adore, and the wonderful gang at Distorted. You are all amazing, and we couldn't put out these conversations without you. I hope you guys at home all have the best Christmas. And so finally, all that's left to say today is goodbye. So it's goodbye from Seema.
Bye everyone, Merry Christmas.
And goodbye from me. Bye-bye. This episode of The Capsule in Conversation was brought to you by Harrogate Springwater. Bottled at source, Harrogate Spring offers a pure, refreshing taste with a delicate blend of naturally occurring minerals and electrolytes, perfect for healthy hydration.